each other, right? I can drink after her. She might not drink after me, but amen. Well, as I was sharing earlier, I want to talk. Does anybody else need a notebook? I'm sitting here up here looking at four of these, five of them, I guess. But as I was sharing with you guys earlier, we had I had sat in staff meetings this week, and honestly, I got hit by the power of God just sitting in my living room, and it's a good thing. It's a great thing when you can experience the Lord like that. And one of the things one of our senior leaders, Pastor Josh Morocco, taught, and one of the things he went into was stewardship. And as I listened to this message, and actually the second and third time I listened to the message, I felt such a connection of stewardship back to the vision that God give us. You know, November of last year in 2023 was Thrive, and it's like, and to be honest with you, it was when you begin to think about the vision of Thrive, it's like what all does that mean? What are we thriving in? And I feel it's very important that we bring things back to help people understand that as we go through this last quarter of the month and into the new year, that God wants us to thrive. And, you know, our three main areas has been thriving body, soul, and spirit. Amen. That we thrive. And so I'm going to go through these things because as he touched on these things, I was like, you know, this is really a part of our vision of Kings. And so we're going to go through probably five, six things tonight, things that God wants us to steward. Amen. You know, the word stewardship, let me just say this before I get into that, because the foundation of serving God begins with fearing Him. I think sometimes we think fearing God, that's where the foundation begins. It begins with a real fear of God. Not I'm afraid of, not, it's not like that I, it doesn't mean that you're living in fear of punishment or pain or anything like that. But it begins with a fear of not doing what God's purpose for you to do on planet Earth. You know, Proverbs 1:7, and I love this scripture. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow, that's a really powerful scripture. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, and I think it's so, when we begin to think about even just the word stewardship, I'm going to pull up a definition here. A steward is basically a person who acts as a surrogate or somebody that's responsible to oversee something. You'll see that at different times, the good servant. You'll see different things in the Bible where it talks about men or women being stewards. And, you know, like what I said earlier, that we have a responsibility as Christians to steward our finances even. You know, that God, you know, God gives me, you know, he releases, you know, I can sit here and say, well, you know, I got my job, you know, I did this, but I ultimately know as a believer what God has done. Amen. Through prayer, through devotion, through fasting, you know, God's opened up doors, and many people in here could even say that tonight. But God, you know, even clearly, you'll see it mentioned throughout scriptures, and you'll find many places in the Bible where people were stewarding what God had positioned them to steward. You know, another scripture, real quick, it's found in Psalms 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell within. So, or therein, is the King James, I think. But so it all belongs to Him. So He's now entrusting us. He's entrusting us as children of God, as kingdom kids. He's entrusting us to do His work here on earth. I think that's really cool. That, you know, that He would allow me to partake in the promises, but also do His work. Amen. And that's one of the things Christ, when He ascended back to heaven, that's one of the things He was doing. He was releasing us to now steward the things on planet Earth. Praise God. Praise God. You know, and I said it earlier, Psalms 115:16, the heaven and the earth are the Lord's, but the earth has been given to the children of men. So we understand the heavens belong to God. He's given earth to us to rule and reign. Amen. Isn't that cool? And you know that you're a priest. Amen. You're a high priest. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to get into a few things here. Praise God. So first one that I want to cover tonight is time. Steward time. Number one. I believe that and this is one of the things that hit me even as the site leader of Kings Fairmont was, if we're going to become effective, greater efficiency, if we're going to become effective as a church, more effective, amen. I feel we've been effective, amen. I'm thankful for everything that God has done. But if we're going to become more effective, one of the things that we have to learn how to do is steward our time, amen. Anybody with me? Amen. You'll find this. Take your Bibles. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I want to show you this one out of Scripture. Acts chapter 6. Can I tell you that, you know, time, honestly, is more valuable than money. You know, the giving up of yourself, the sacrifices that you make. I've had people that were part of fundraisers and, you know, where I was in previous work that I did, you know, and what I needed was bodies. I needed people to come and get involved. They're like, I don't really want to come and get involved. I'll give you a bunch of money. I just don't want to be involved. And I'm like, I really need people. I need people on the ground. And so you know, even understanding how precious time is, and that's one of the things, you know, that we hold dear to, you know, with everybody here. Your time is very valuable unto the Lord, very valuable to us as pastors. Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitudes of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of God and good reputation, full of what? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. So just as an example, one of the things that you'll see even in Scripture that, you know, they needed to appoint because of their time, because of their dedication and devotion to the gospel. You know, many pastors will use this, but this passage of Scripture really is relative to the business world. It's relative to all of us. You know, if you're a business and you want to grow a business and you're maxed out, you'll need to, if you want to continue to grow, you're going to have to appoint somebody. You're going to have to bring somebody in. A lot of times businesses don't grow beyond that because they don't want to risk the process of bringing somebody new in. But you'll see even in Scripture, one of the things that the men of God needed to do was to further the kingdom, to further the gospel and getting out. They said, you know, we have a ministry in the church that we're helping the poor, we're helping people in need, and we have this ministry and we're all involved in it, but we need to appoint other people so we can further the kingdom of God. And that's one of the greatest responsibilities that I think that we have, you know, even in this church, that we, you know, I love the ministries that are taking place in this house, but that we steward them and that we raise up leaders out of every department, out of every group, so that we can continue to further the kingdom of God. Amen. That's one of the things that we're doing even in this house. It's one of the things that Kings is doing globally. You know, our Pastor Josh had shared with Kings. He said, you know, the vision. Does anybody know the global vision of Kings? The 12-120. Praise God. So you guys have heard the vision. So you understand that we're. I'm going to talk about stewarding a vision, but it's also that we have a responsibility to steward the vision of Kings. That this isn't Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda's church. Ultimately, it belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so we recognize that, but we sit under an authority. Every life group in this house, every ministry in this house, everybody that shares the Word of God, every worship team member, you're a representation of Kings. And so we have to steward what's been given to us, or what we've been asked to steward. Amen. So we're just I don't know what the right word is, but you guys understand, we're stewarding from our head. We're stewarding a king's and what a king's look like. As you go into many kings, it would look just like this. The preaching might be a little different, of course, but one of the things you'll find in Kings is prayer. Every king's praise has early morning prayer. It's a non-negotiable. I mean, that's we steward what doctor wants us to steward. It's a non-negotiable in any king's cathedral and chapels. So that's one example. So, but our time, you know, God wants us to, he wants us to manage our time. I'll say this about time. Time is such a precious commodity for all of us. And I used to have this personality that I was going to come and save the day. If somebody needed something, my wife would say it. I was out the door. I'm the fixer. If anybody called, I would drop what I was doing and I would bust out the door. You know, because somebody's in need. Am I right? For the most part, I mean, you know, a lot better now. Praise God. But I would bust out the door, not thinking about time. Not, you know, and honestly, there were times that I would drive to call Louie to the hospital because somebody got, it's a 2.5 hour drive. On a good day, maybe an hour and 40 minutes. But on average, it was at least a 2 hour drive to get into town. And it was one of the things that I felt like the Lord began to show me several years back was your time is precious. And if you spend time running and you spend time chasing, Are you now positioned where I'm calling you to be? And, you know, Pastor Josh called it the hero complex. And he said, you know, one of the things that we can be guilty of is that, you know, I'm here to save the day. Can I tell you the greatest responsibility that Pastor Moran and I have is to point you towards Jesus. Amen. You know, we have the one-on-ones, and we love that discipleship, and I've had many one-on-ones with people in here, and I'll always do that because I love that side of the ministry. I love discipleship, but you have to protect your time as a believer, as things that you're getting involved in. It's one of the things, even recently, I told Brother Stephen, you know, you're doing a lot. Evaluate what you're doing. I'm not telling you need to quit a ministry or anything like that, but evaluate your time. Look at your time. How can your time and energy be spent to be more fruitful or to be more productive? It's look at your time. Look where you're putting your energy. So we have to learn how to manage and steward our time. Amen. So please evaluate that. Pastor Brandon, you want to jump in anywhere there? I've got a few other points around that, but
I would just say that the enemy can use people's cries many times for your time's distraction. I didn't word that very well. But there can be things sometimes that can steal your time, and it might look like a good deed, but you can run from one good deed to another good deed to another good deed, and you're not producing or being effective in what God has called you to do because the enemy's using this person to, I need this, and this person to call at this time. And like Pastor Brad says, you know, or Pastor Josh, the hero complex is we feel like we're actually being used, but we have to be very careful and use discernment on whether or not the Lord is wanting us to step in to that person's situation or not. Because honestly, a good 24 hours sometimes, that person will have it figured out. There are many, many times that person will have their crisis figured out within 24 hours if you just give them a little bit of time. So you have to learn what is like actually needed, what the Lord wants you to do, where the Lord wants you to step in, or if you're just running from one thing to another to another to another, and your time is being pulled away and you're not able to focus on what you need to focus on. Or are you allowing distractions and things to steal your time, and it's just idle time? Is this thing producing in me, or is it just stealing the time out of my life? Is me, you know, scrolling on Facebook and, oh my gosh, I just sat there and and just scrolled 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Oh my, I just scrolled a half an hour, 45 minutes. I've just watched 65 reels, you know, and it's you, before you realize that there's an hour of your day, but then you'll use the same excuse. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm so busy. So it really is about prioritizing and making sure that you order. Like Pastor Brad said, your time is actually something very precious that the Lord gives you, and it's your responsibility to steward your time correctly. And the more responsibility you gain in life, the more tight that will have to become, more honed in that will have to become. As we have grown in leadership, we have had to do that more detailed over the years. So I've had to look at my schedule and go, okay, I've got to be regulated. So Mondays are this, Tuesdays are this, Wednesdays are this, and I'm not saying it never changes. Once in a while, I might have to shift things around, but you know, most people that are close with us know, like, our Saturdays are devoted to, you know, study time and getting ready for Sunday. So if there's something going on a Saturday, I need to know in advance, because I've got to switch my time frame around to get that done earlier in the week to be able to compensate for a Saturday thing. So it's ordering your steps, knowing your time, so you can be more productive and more effective in what God's called you to do.
Amen. And I'll give you this even as a tip, because even with time, and I realized this, and you know, I was sitting praying last night about, you know, with both Zephon and Gracia getting ready to be married, and I was like, you know, how are we going to have family day now? And you know, because I'm going to have to sit down with both Gracia and Ryan and Zephon and Giselle and say, you know, where do we fit family day, or where do we fit family time? You know, where we do it once a week or whatever. Okay, now are we going to be doing that every couple weeks or something like that? You know, because for me, it's valuable. It's, you know, time with family is valuable. So it's like, you know, fitting those components in. And I'll say this around time, because, you know, even with that hero complex, you can have that mentality that, you know, you're always in a position of trying to help someone. But, you know, there's times that I've made mistakes. I'm going to be transparent tonight. Is this all right? Because there were times that I left my family when I should have not left my family, because I was running to put out a fire that honestly never went out. So you have to evaluate that and pray. And, you know, as Pastor Moran said, it's like sending an email. You ever get an email that you want to respond very quickly? Somebody was nasty with you, and I'm ready to fire back. Wait. Breathe. Take a deep breath and wait. I mean, most of you guys don't even know what email is, so you younger people, right? You're like, email? What's an email? We text. But you know, and there was a time that a girl had sent me an email, and I didn't get it. I didn't open up my email, and I didn't get it. And I went back in. It was a girl that worked for me, and I went back in. And she come in. She was just down, and I was upbeat, and I was like, "What's going on?" And she was like, "Did you get my email?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Will you delete it and not read it?" She said, "I was mad yesterday over a situation that happened in one of the schools. And I just unloaded a bunch of stuff. And it wasn't about me. It was just, I was very distraught and very mad. And can you delete that?" And I said, "Yeah." And I actually did. I didn't read it. You know, curiosity, right? You want to know, well, what she'd have to say. You know, how good was it? You know, but you know, so don't, your time is valuable. Amen. So number one, just steward your time. Look at your time. Evaluate your time. You know, if you don't have a schedule, you're not regimented over certain things. I mean, there's certain things, to be honest with you, things transitioned for us over the last 3 or 4 months, so we understood where our time and energy was going to be, the excess time. So we're in a little bit of a season right now. We understand that, but we've already started to pray and begin to think about, we're coming out of this season, and so now we're gearing up for the next phase. We're now gearing up for, we're starting to talk about, because we're both plowers. I don't know if you guys know, but once we're in something, we're we see it through. And I mean, it's we play different parts, but it's like we're starting to come through some things, and we're starting to say, okay, this vision, you know, the purpose, everything God's called us to do, you know, this is where we're going to be. This is what we're going to do. We're going to plow through, and not plow, but we're going to pray through. Amen. And we're going to push through and make things happen, but believe God's going to do these things, and they will happen. Praise God. So steward your time. If you're not evaluating your time, evaluate your time. Can I tell you, it's why I like having a notebook, like, and writing things down. You know, this notebook, it's interesting because I keep notebooks like this around because I can go and flip a notebook open, and I ripped all the pages out in case somebody needed one, and I'll find just words. I write just words down because but I can look at that word and say, oh, I remember when I had that word, something happened, and that was a reminder to me to evaluate something or to look at something. And so I do write things down. A lot of times I'm looking for receipts sometimes in the car to write things down. Steward your time. Amen.
Can I add one more thing to
sure
that?
Yeah, sure can.
For people that desire to do ministry and go into ministry, I would say this also. Understand because I'm not saying don't help people. That's not what I was saying earlier. I'm saying to have discernment around it. But also understand that when you have a family, like, you are responsible for your family first, not everybody else. And ministry can sometimes carry the stigmatism that you are responsible for everybody else. And so it's very easy to think and feel that this is your obligation to run to every person that has an issue or a problem. And the thing, like Pastor Brad said, your responsibility is to point them to Jesus, to show them how to go to God, not to be their savior, not to be their fixer of everything, to point them to Jesus. But understand that in the end, when it's all said and done, you want your family to be there for you at the end of your time, at the end of your life. Because all those other people, chances are, the majority of them are not going to be there. Most of them will not be there. They'll have moved on, they'll have left, they won't be part of your life, but your family will. So, and if you didn't prioritize your family, and if you didn't take care of that aspect, then you don't want them to be bitter at you because you shoved them on the side to run for everybody else. Okay,
that's good.
Especially for those that desire to do ministry, because that pressure can come on in the realm of ministry for that.
Amen. Yeah, and I say, even just when we talk about stewarding, when we talk about family, that's going to be, if you're married, your husband, your wife, your kids. Because, you know, ultimately, I couldn't steward my mom's time. I couldn't steward things from my mother. My mother, she made her own decisions. So the inner family, who you are, you know, be a unit. Amen. Be a unit.
Oh, my gosh. And you gotta realize you can't let someone else's bad time management run your life. Like, that's a big one, too. Like, if they don't know how to time manage themselves, but then they want to go, hey, I need you to come help me because I'm in this crisis, or I'm in this mode, or I don't have this figure. Like, and then you're running because they haven't time managed or life managed themselves or money managed themselves, and you're always dishing out. Like, you can't run every time that there's a phone call or a scream or a knock at the door. Like, learn to discern what God wants you to do and where someone else, God might be working with them on stuff. He might be wanting them to say, you know, you're in a tight squeeze right now, but I need you to depend on me, the Lord, rather than everybody else. So you got to discern. There have been times when I know that someone's in a financial crisis, and I would have absolutely been willing to help them out, but the Lord said, no, let me deal with it, because they need to learn the management side of things. You've helped them time and time and time before, but it's a management problem that they need to get a hold of. Not, you can run in and fix for 20 years, and it's not going to help them.
Yeah, I know a lot's being said. These are just nuggets. So, you know, but protect that. Protect your time. It's so important. We probably could just spend time around just that one alone. But secondly, let's do number two. Steward your health. Steward your health. You're the only one that can control that. My wife can't do it for me. My kids can't do it for me. Now, you know, I love the fact that, you know, Gracia will look at me and say, hey, Dad, you know, you haven't been going to the gym in a while. You know, that accountability thing is nice. It's can I tell you that, honestly, sometimes it's necessary. You know, I'm going to be referring to me a lot tonight. But you know, she, you know, hey, Dad, you know, I get it. And, you know, she's made a comment to me, I don't know when it was, maybe a month and a half ago. Hey, Dad, you know, I haven't seen you in the gym in a while. Because, you know, she'd see me in the gym and we'd joke or whatever. So, but you're the only one that can steward your health. The body that you've been given is the body God's given you. So take care of it. Let me just take it, not only just in you know, you may think, well, I don't like to go to the gym. Walk. Go on a walk. There are things that get activity into your life. It will prolong your life. There's just so much research around it. I don't need to go into it. It will prolong your life. Amen. So your physical health, you need to steward your health. And like I said, I think through Thrive, the personal thing this year was, I think a lot of people have, you know, including myself, you know, these are things that the Lord is showing us, amen, that we become a healthy church, amen. So steward your health. I don't know. There's a lot that I could say here. I don't want to get stuck here, though. You know, I would say this, even steward, when you think about health, you need to steward your mind. You need to guard what flows in and out of your mind. I mean, because what you position yourself in mentally, I mean, you know that. Have you ever just mentally been stressed? I mean, Miranda, and I'll use her as an example. Last night, you know, she was studying, I was studying, we'd kind of finished up, and we were looking in the kitchen area where we got a project going on. And I seen that. I know the look, right? I've been married to her for a while, so I know the look. And she had this look of just, I'm just done, stressed. And I said, do you want to do something? Do you want to hang a cabinet? And she just looked at me. She's like, she just walked around. She didn't say anything. She wasn't talking. And so I know what's going on. And so I said, you just want to go out to eat? And she was like, yeah, let's just go out to eat. So she went and got ready. I got ready. And you know, this is me as the husband. I've got 10 things going on in my mind, and the 10 things that are flowing through my mind aren't the 10 things that she wants to talk about. You know, I said, you know, how's the wedding planning going? We got in the car. She's like, you know, I don't really want to talk about the wedding right now. You know, that's stressful right now. I've got this going on, and then I made something else. I don't even know what other comment I made. It was like, I don't want to talk about that either, you know. I just want to go out to eat. Where do you want to eat? She's like, well, let's go to the China buffet. We never eat at the China buffet. I'm thinking, I figured it out real quick. She doesn't want to talk. The reason we're going to the China buffet was because we don't have to talk. We just walk in, go get our plate, and we just eat. Amen. We just eat and just keep eating, and we drink our drinks, and we leave. We don't have to talk. That's why we're going to the China buffet. But you have to steward your mental health. And, you know, for me, it was for me to recognize, you know, when my wife looks at me and says, you can turn the radio on and listen to the football game, I knew at that point, she was done. She was checked. She didn't want, you know, because, you know, every guy, you know, guys, another nugget, don't try to fix everything. Sometimes just listen. You know, because, you know, my mind never, and it's something I have to steward is my time. My mind never comes out of work. I never quit thinking. I could drive her crazy because I'm always thinking, we could do this in ministry, or we could, you know, I met with this person today. That's how I am. That's how I flow. And she's like, time out. Just take a time out, Brad. You just take a break. And so it's important that you steward, that you stop, think. Thinking is not a bad thing, okay? Position yourself to where you think. You know, I have to do that. I have to be intentional. I can go down rabbit trails. You guys listen to me preach sometimes. I can go down a rabbit trail. So I can do that at home. I can be doing something. I'm like, you know, I was watching TV with Brian Backus the other night, and I said, how does anybody in this family watch TV with you? We had 12 different things going at the same time. Larry was like, I've been trying to tell my dad that you know, we can't keep up with you watching TV, Dad. But so some men are just wired differently, amen. But steward your mind. You know, can I add this? You know, vitamins and nutrition is something that you really should pay attention to. You really should pay attention to. You guys understand, and all the preservatives and all the stuff that's in food today, this stuff didn't even exist 35 years ago. So the things and the foods that we eat and that we take into our bodies, this stuff wasn't even around. I mean, you can put a Big Mac on a counter and it will look the same 3 weeks later. It doesn't change color. It doesn't get mold on it. It looks the same, you know. And I'm not against Big Macs because I like Big Macs. Just one choice of food. But pay attention to nutrition. You know, and can I say just and read and study and, you know, be concerned about your health. Brother Don was sharing something with me the other day about going to the chiropractor, and he was talking about the alignment of this and that, and I was intrigued. And so I went home and I researched some of this stuff, and I began to see where, like, you know, things get released into the brain. You know, when the spine is healthy, your spine is the main cortex of a person's body. And I was like, wow, there's a lot. I never knew that. I never knew that there was such a, you know, such a big connection of a person's spine even to the human brain, which makes sense, but we don't study this stuff. I'll share this with you guys, because sometime over the next month or more, we're going to bring some people in and we're going to talk about health. Amen. Is it all right if we do that in this house? We talk about health. We're going to be a healthy church, and even have life groups going into the winter and going into next year. Healthy life groups. Amen. You know, we're learning, we're teaching, and we're doing these things. Amen. So steward your health. You're the only one that can do that. You're the only one. You know, and I believe this is. Listen, I've felt bad in my body, and I can tell after so long when my body starts getting, even in eating, I can tell when I've had 2 or 3 days of bad eating. Because then my next 3 or 4 days are going to be junk. But when I get more water and when I eat better, my body feels better. Amen? And, you know, always going into a weekend. A lot of times I fast. I'll go into a weekend fasting. So come Sunday, my body feels good. I'm not up here with stomach cramps. I'm not up here with pains, having a headache or what. I'm preparing myself, you know, so it's like, you know, getting yourself ready. And but steward your health. Amen? Pastor Brandon, you have anything else around that?
Yeah, steward your emotional health too. Your emotional health. Because how you respond to people, how you respond to life, to your relationships, that's important. And that will affect your productiveness in what you're able to do, what you're able to influence, and what you're able to lead. So make sure you're not just focused in one of those three areas and then depleting in another area, meaning, like, don't just focus on physical health and then ignore your spiritual and emotional health. Don't just focus on, you know, your spiritual health and ignore your physical and emotional. So make sure that you're working to take care of each part of your body, because it's for the long haul. You're in this for the long race. And if you're not taking care of your emotional health, your relationships, your physical health, your spiritual health, then somewhere along the line, 20 years down the road, it will catch up with you. So you got to make sure that you're working to be well balanced.
Yeah. Your personal health will determine your family's health. I mean, that's, you know, as mom and dad or as anybody. I remember when Miranda was taught Zephan. Zephan hated vegetables. Was that my right? Hated vegetables. Wouldn't he? Anything green? Anything orange, he wouldn't eat. He would be like, nah, I just don't eat it. Just put a hot dog out there and ketchup, and I'll eat it. And then Miranda spent a whole I don't know, maybe 5-6 weeks teaching health to the kids, educated them, and taught him how to cook vegetables on the grill. And next thing you know, he was eating eggs. Then he would have green peppers and onions. And then he was eating all the green peppers and onions. And then she taught him how to make an omelet. Now I got ham and green peppers and onions and all this stuff. And so, it's a matter of educating yourself. And so, with him, it was getting him to try a new food. And, you know, that took a little bit of time, I think. I wasn't a part of that process. Praise God. So, but steward your health. Steward your health. Very, very important. Number three, steward your family. Steward your family. Steward your family. And I'm talking, if you're married, if you're not married, begin to prepare yourself for this. That, you know, that you personally will steward your family. You know, can I say that as a husband, you begin to pray for a spouse. If you're a female, begin to pray for a spouse also. But that you steward the relationship. Amen? Because I'm her only husband. She's married to me. I have a full on responsibility to her, not to my mother. You know, when my mother was living, the greatest responsibility I had was still to my wife. Would I help my mother? Yeah, I'd help my mother. My mother moved in for a time period. But my greatest responsibility was to steward that relationship, to steward my family, to care for, to pray, to provide. Amen. These things are so important. So important. The relationships with my kids. Steward healthy relationships with your kids. Have I failed? Absolutely. Have I said things to my kids that I've actually had to go to all three of my kids and say, I should have never said that. I'm sorry. Yes, I've done that as a father. So, but you know, the one thing I'll tell you, and it's kind of been covered, is, and I don't care in whatever job you're in, because we can sacrifice family for money. That's why I shared that scripture tonight. Don't love money. Love what God loves. Amen. Don't love money. You can sacrifice. You know, you know, there was a time that I worked a lot of hours. I mean, I still work a lot of hours, I guess, but it's different. But you know, I would get up at 5:30 in the morning, go open a child care center, and that was a 6 a.m. till 7:30, and then I would go to my job and work till 6 or 7. Sometimes I'd have meetings till 9 o'clock, and then I was coming home tired to a wife that was tired that was raising three kids. And, you know, something had to shift. There was a shift in our family. But, you know, for a couple years, I did that, you know, trying to get ahead. You know, anybody ever heard that? I'm just working hard, trying to get ahead. Trying to, you know, position yourself to pray for another job. Position, you know, because, you know, what was going on was I was exhausted. My family was exhausted, which honestly can create a lot of dysfunction. It can create a lot of dysfunction. And I grew up with working parents. My parents both, you know, they provided. Amen. My parents were great providers. But my parents ran a business, and then my dad, for whatever reason, decides he wants to pick up a paper route. And he starts the paper route at 12 o'clock at night. So he's driving, he's leaving at 10 o'clock in the evening time. So that window with mom and dad was very short. And I honestly, this was really weird. It was really at a valuable time in my life because I was in high school. A lot of things shift when you start high school. And you know, my parents weren't around. So guess what I could do? I could stay out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because mom and dad wasn't going to be back until 5. So, you know, you guys understand where I'm going with that. But it's important that you understand that you need to steward your family. Some of you are doing that. Future families, steward your family. Don't lay your family on the altar. God's not asking us to do that. He asked Abraham to do that, right? Isaac. But I don't believe God's asking us to lay our children, to lay our family on the altar. Amen. Amen. Anything else?
The one comment Pastor Josh made, which was very good, he said anybody can fill, and of course this was for, you know, a bunch of pastors in the room, anybody can fill the pulpit, but there's nobody else that can be the father or the husband or the mother or the wife of your children or your spouse. And, you know, it's the same thing with your job. You know, yes, do the responsible things at your work, but understand too, like if you're being... If it is cutting into a healthy lifestyle with your family, then you have to evaluate that and understand that only you, because a boss can totally take advantage of the fact that you are willing to work yourself to death. So, you know, be balanced. I'm not saying, well, boss, I'm just taking off whenever I want to. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be responsible, be balanced, but also know if it's getting top heavy, if it's going to the extreme, then only you are the only person that will step in and steward your own life, steward your own family and your time there. So make sure you're taking care of that.
Amen. That's good. Number four, I think we're number four. Steward the anointing. Steward the anointing. There's only one you. God's given you great abilities. He's given you great gifts. He's given you great talents. You know, steward what God's given you. I'm so thankful we're not the same. I mean, aren't you thankful that we're not a bunch of robots and that we're not walking around and we're walking in order? And I mean, that would be so horrific. I'm so thankful that we're different. But see, we have a responsibility to steward the anointing. And one of the things, there's a lot that could be said about this, but you have a responsibility to grow yourself, spiritually. The church, we have a responsibility. You know, our greatest responsibility is to get you to hear from God. You know, I can prophesy, I can pray, we can do all that, but it's to get you in the position where you hear from God. You know, Pastor Josh says this, and it's really great, and he says, when I have the one-on-ones with people, and you know, and you'll hear it from me when I meet with people, you know, what's God saying to you? What do you feel like? What do you hear the Lord saying? What do you feel? What do you feel like? Where's the Lord moving you? What's the Lord saying? And because it's not, you know, me to sit here and, you know, this is what I think you should do. It's not what I think you should do. What's God saying to you? What's God speaking to you? Because the more ownership we have in the relationship, it removes all the outside things. You know, because, see, it's personal. Because God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. You know, it's like, you know, I married my wife. It was so awesome because there were certain things that she was very good at. And I was thankful because I felt like, well, I don't have to do them because she does them. I don't have to preach and teach. She's really good at it, right? So I can just go over here. We had Bible study in the house, and I would sit around and never study and just throw my opinion out every once in a while. She's like, what are you doing? You know, she'd study for hours. This was many years ago. She would study for hours. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, you know, I'm just riding alongside her, you know? But see, no, God wants you to stir at the anointing. He wants you to be anointed. But so then there's that time, there's that place where you've got to begin to grow in the things of God. You've got to position yourself. Men, those are getting married, you know, Zephan, Ryan, you guys are getting, Ryan, Zephan's like, yeah, me, yeah. You stir the anointing for your family. You know, you have a responsibility. Amen. Women, you have a responsibility. Steward the anointing. See what God has for you. Amen. Amen. I know there's a lot I could cover there, but this, anything else around the anointing? Because I could stay there for a little while, but
I would just translate that also as steward the talents, the abilities that God has given you. You know, and you can liken that to the parable of the talents in the Bible, where God gives, you know, three different servants a specified amount of talents and says, occupy until I return. And the third servant did what? He went and buried, it said, out of fear. He was afraid. Yeah. And so he buried his talents. He buried the thing that he was supposed to be using to be productive. God has given each person skills, abilities, things in their life that they're good at, that they have talents in, they're anointed in. And it's up to us to make sure that we are stewarding that well. Don't take your talents and your abilities and just be like, oh, yeah, you know, not a big deal. I just like to do that on the side. Or what if God wants to take you to another level in that? And if you're too busy comparing yourself to someone else because of their ability in some area, and you're not focused on what God has given you, and you're trying to be something that God didn't create you to be, or you're afraid, so you're burying your talent, or you think that it's not a big deal and it's not valuable, then you're missing it. You're missing the gap that God wants to place you in, because you're part of the body. It would be like missing, fingers of your hand, yeah, toes. It would be like missing parts of your body that are not being activated in the body of Christ whenever you aren't activating your talents, when you aren't activating the things that God has given to you.
Yeah, you can only give and show people things where you've been. That's one of the things about the anointing. We don't back down from healing because we've seen it, right? We don't back down from salvations, right? Because we see people get saved. So we steward that. We steward that anointing, and we want it to be stewarded throughout Kings. Amen. So I don't know. I think number five, is that where we're at? Number five? Steward the vision. Steward the vision. I want to say this because, every household should have a vision. Every year, for the last few years, our household sits down and we sit down and we do vision boards. We've done that in this church before, but I looked at my vision board today, and there's some things I'm short in right now, to be honest. But there are some things that I've done. On my vision board, though, I never wrote down my kids were getting married this year. So sometimes the vision shifts or changes, right? So that wasn't a part of the plan. I was like, that's not on my vision board. Where does that fit? And I have a picture of it's called the perfect day. Miranda always laughs about it. It's like, what does that mean to you? I said because every day I believe in the Lord is a perfect day. And I said, we had spent a day in Maryland. She's like, what's that have to do with your vision? I said, everything, because I know how good God is every day. We had spent a day in Maryland. I took this picture. It was in Deep Creek, and I took this picture, and it was in the fall, and it was beautiful. And I looked at Marina, I said, this is the perfect day. And so, anyway, it meant something to me. But steward vision, okay? Steward vision in your home. Have vision. My people perish for a lack of vision. So, vision, you have to keep vision in front of you, amen? Bite size. One of the things around Thrive that we said this year, maybe it's one or two things that if you were to focus on, one or two things that I'm going to do this year, I'm going to do this. Yeah, that could seem like a challenge, right? Especially, a church that's such a helping church. This church is such a helping church. When do I have time to focus on myself because I'm always helping someone else? Yeah, everybody look at me, because we're a very helping church. But it's that you would thrive so that you become stronger independently, amen? But steward the vision. The vision I said earlier, that we have a responsibility. I share all this stuff with you because I believe Kings worldwide is going to a greater level. And there's such a directional shift, and I believe not only for Kings, but I believe for the church worldwide. This vision, the 12-120, one of the things that we heard this past week was, we've got to move out of maintaining mode and move into grow mode. We've got to move out of maintain, because it's, like I said, I love, this is great, this is a great people. I love being back in West Virginia. Great people. And but we got to move from just maintaining to growing, amen. To growing the body, to having a Chukis congregation, to doing things and growing and in expanding, amen. You hear what I did? I just cast vision. Did anybody catch that? We're gonna have another congregation, and we're gonna have another congregation. So it's like you're planting those seeds, but be mindful of those things. Be mindful to be thinking and stay in vision. The 12-120, we fall under a global vision. And the vision for Kings, West Virginia, it doesn't have a number. What was Dr. Morocco's message to the church this year? Breakout. So, You know, those are things that need to be on the wall here. My apologies. Those need to be out visible where we can see them. But the 12-120 by 2025 will be 1,200 locations serving 120,000 people. Right now, we're close to 120,000 people. Isn't that cool? We're close to serving 120,000 people worldwide. So, but congregations, we're lacking in congregations. And I think God's going to give us a unique strategy for congregations. And you know, a church, can I say this? Because I think a lot of times people think, well, a church means a building. And Pastor Josh did a really good job at explaining this. A church doesn't have to be just a building. You know, there's a congregation meeting in Las Vegas in a home. There's 70 to 100 people every week meeting in a home. They run a service in their home. But we, you know, we're building a building in West Virginia. Amen. But to start a congregation, it doesn't necessarily have to have. We didn't have all the bells and whistles here. I mean, we need to upgrade equipment now. There's things that we need to do. You know, when we come in and we found out we could buy this building with chairs, you know how happy we were? Because we knew how much chairs cost. What color were the chairs before? Teal. Ugly teal. Amen. Were they ugly? I don't know. They were pretty ugly, weren't they? So Stuart the vision. Amen. We fall under Kings 12-120. The vision for Kings, West Virginia is thrive. You know, thrive. Position yourself to thrive, body, soul, and spirit. I don't push any other vision. As a pastor, we do what Kings does. You know, there are a lot of great churches in the area, and you know, I'll use Pastor Luke as an example at Center Branch, and say I started talking to Pastor Luke, and Pastor Luke said, you know, I feel like, you know, if you guys' church did this, this, and this, you know, you would see growth. That would be out of order. That would be, there's one vision that we champion, and it comes from Maui. It comes from Hawaii. It comes from me being in weekly meetings. That vision is shared with you all. That's what Kings is about. And Kings is about growing a church. Amen. And it's about planting other extensions. And but you have to steward vision. Be mindful to stay in the area of vision for your life. My people are destroyed for a lack of vision, for a lack of revelation. So vision is very critical. You know, the one thing about that, because if Miranda and I, this isn't our show. If Pastor Miranda and I were in here, and you know, we would be let go very, very quickly. If we were running whatever we wanted to run, do whatever we, there's an order to service. You know what, doctor, the first time he come in here, you know what he was looking at? He was looking at the flow of service, how we ran the service. And you know what he did? He looked at me and said, after I blessed the congregation, he took his big old hand and hit me across the back. And he said, that's so good that you bless the people. That's what we do at Kings. And you know, and my next question to him was, well, doctor, did we run service the way Kings run service? And you know, he said, well, I would tweak this, I would do that, but yeah, you got it. But you see, that's important to us. It's not Brad Miranda's show. It's not, you know, look at me, how great I am. You know, it's not that. You're not following us. People follow vision. Because, listen, what happens in America, people will follow, they'll follow a pastor, they'll follow a leader, and if something happens, half the church will bail. You see it happen. You see, unfortunately, you see it happen in America. I've seen it happen in West Virginia. I've seen it happen with a great man of God that I knew. People were following the man of God, and when he left and went to another church 50 miles down the road, guess what? Half the church split, and half the church went with him. So you see, you're following vision. This church, you guys understand, we want this church to be here long past any of us. We're not just putting a Kings in Fairmont, West Virginia, that if the Lord tarry 100 years from now, guess what? There'll still be a Kings. There'll be four campuses in Marion County. Amen? Amen. So we're not divisive at Kings. We're not planning our own vision. There's a lot of accountability. You know, sometimes I know people are like, you guys seem real strict about this. There's a lot of accountability in weekly meetings to make sure we're doing things the way that we need to do things. And behind the scenes stuff. So we have a responsibility to steward vision, and we'll do that. And you know, and steward vision with your families. Amen. It's so good to do that. So, anything, Pastor Miranda?
Putting it on a family level, I would say make sure your family and your kids know, like, what you're doing, where you're going. Like, that your children, that your family, they know, like, this is who we are. This is how our family does it. There's many, many instances that my children have probably looked out at the world and going, yeah, but, you know, this person does it this way, that person does it this way, but that's not how we do it. And they know it. They know this is, I mean, they've been raised in church. They know that we are in church on Sunday. Like, it doesn't matter. And so it's a non-negotiable. They don't question it. It's part of what we do. And so they understand, like, who we are and why we do what we do. And so, you know, it's not based upon the rest of the world, but explain to your kid. Give them the why behind the what. If you're leading ministry, if you're leading anything, give them the why behind the what. I can't stress that enough, because just telling them something, stop doing that, quit, like, that's not giving them the reasoning and the understanding to be able to move forward themselves and know why they're doing what they're doing. It's the same thing with your departments. You know, it's like the other day when I was last week, somebody got saved, and we have the new convert packets and everything. And I told Angela and Minister Mara, I said, you guys stay here for a second, because I wanted them to hear how I explained this packet that I'm giving to a new convert, because they're the connect team, and I want them to know why I'm saying what I'm saying to this person. When I hand them this, this is what I'm explaining. This is what I'm showing them in the packet, because I want this person to go home understanding what they're getting and not feeling overwhelmed and knowing where to start, so that I'm replicating that, so it's not dependent just on me, so that they understand and can multiply the same vision. So everything you do is about multiplying the vision. But if the person doesn't know or understand why you're doing it, they might be able to mimic you, but they're not going to pass it on because they don't know why you're doing it. So give them the why behind the what.
Amen. That's good. That's good. And, you know, and we need visible things in this house to be able to do that. And we'll become stronger at that. And so praise God. You know, communicate vision, drive vision. You know, be a driver of vision, communicate vision. Lastly, I want to do this last one. Steward leaders. Let me show you this by example. Steward leaders. Let me use, Brother John's not here. Brother Stephen, can I use you as an example? Steward leaders. Come over this way.
And Pastor Josh, it's steward leaders, not just relationships.
Not just relationships. Go over and stand by Brother Don.
That's a big difference, because if you're just working on the relationship with the person and you're building relationship, but you're not stewarding the leadership out of them, pulling the potential out of them, what you want to see come out of them, then you're not stewarding a leader. You're just making a relationship with somebody.
And we're called to be, you know, it's good that we're in relationship with Christ first, right? And it's good that we're in relationship with people. But let me use Stephen as an example. Stephen comes into a life group. He's saved, and he comes into a men's meeting and feels that the Lord says, this is where the Lord's told me to be. And so in a very short amount of time, you know, Stephen's got to get a few things figured out. You know, he's got to get his license, get things figured out, and needs a job. And so Brother Don offers him a job. And so the process process and how it can begin and how we steward leaders, Don, you know, Stephen got a job working where he's still there, right? I think you're still there, right? And so he's still there. But so Don begins to bring Stephen in. They drive down the road together a lot, right? You guys spend a lot of time together. And Don's ministering to Brother Stephen. And so he's pouring into Stephen. In the meantime, Stephen is getting connected. And I know that this is the process in stewarding a leader, because you have a lot of questions coming in. Did anybody have a lot of questions coming in? Getting saved, well, why do they do this? Why do they do that? Why this? Why that? And so Don's on the front end of this saying, you know, answering questions and, you know, getting Stephen involved. And so, where's Justin at? Justin, come here. Come here. So go over and stand there by Brother Stephen. And so this is the example of stewarding leaders. And so Brother Don is pouring into Stephen. And then so Brother Stephen is, you know, because he hears the vision of Kings that we're going to make disciples, right? That's the goal. We're making disciples. Now, Minister Mark, you come on over here too. Minister Lehigh, you can just raise your hand in the back. You're part of this too. So you go over there and stand real quick. Go over there and stand. So you know, we have this whole thing, and it begins to work, and it begins to click, because Brother Don's poured into Brother Stephen, and you know, meanwhile he's getting some one-on-one time with Pastor Brad too, right? And Pastor Miranda getting some one-on-one time. And you know, even with the one-on-one times, one of the things that I guard time. You know, we'll sit down. A lot of times I guard my time with the one-on-ones. We're very focused. If it's ministry related, we're very focused. I give him opportunity. You know what a one-on-one time looks a lot like? What's the Lord saying? What's going on, Brother Stephen? And you know what we do as pastors? We sit and listen. We sit and listen to what the Lord's releasing in him. Because see, that's what God's calling him to do. It's not what, you know, I see you in this. You know, I can wish things for him, but isn't it better that he gets his assignment from the Lord? Because he's going to thrive, amen? He's going to be stronger, he's going to be better. So, you know, meanwhile, Brother Don's poured into Stephen. And then, you know, meanwhile, you go stand in the middle between these guys. So we have transformation ministry. And so then Minister Mara, you know, meets with Miranda and says, you know, I feel to start transformation ministry. And Stephen gets involved with transformation ministry and, you know, and begins to just, you know, have a heart for getting people that have maybe gone through some of the things that he's gone through into this ministry. Amen. So Stephen's going out and he's recruiting. But, you know, so we have ministries being birthed. Discipleship is happening. See, we steward leaders. See, this is the thing that as your pastor, this is what I'm praying about, that we move at a much quicker level now. Because there's a foundation that's been built, but there's a core being established. Amen. There's a core of people being established, and this thing begin to take off. I know you got the mic, you're probably ready to say something. But so Minister Mara runs transformation, and then next thing you know, Brother Justin, how many months you been here now? Oh, praise God. Isn't that good? And so what happens is he begins to disciple. But see, Minister Mara, as a part of Brad and Miranda, right? As a part of your pastors in HANA, you know, we were releasing you and Minister Lehigh to start transformation. You guys to spring something up in transformation. And so then what happens is boom, boom, boom. We begin to see disciples made. And guess what Brother Justin is going to do now? You know, Brother Justin took the mic this morning in prayer and he prayed for like 6.5 minutes. You know what I did? I just rejoiced. I just rejoiced. That's God, that's the Holy Spirit, and that's. But see, Stephen came alongside him and just opened up. And I guarantee you, it looked a lot like what he went through. You sat and you listened, and you showed him the Word, and you showed him the Scriptures. And then guess what he did? He started jumping in. He started getting involved. How can I get involved in bus ministry? How can I get involved in transformation ministry? People don't realize the power that takes place in making a disciple. Because see, these guys, you know, Brother Don's not done making disciples. Stephen's not done. Minister Mara's not done. Justin, he just now come into this thing. He's just now getting started. Amen. I mean, so you think that Jesus made 12 men that flipped the modern world upside down? Oh my, what would God do in a city like Fairmont where 25 people get on fire for God and begin to make disciples? One after another. And I'm telling you, that's the thing. That we're going to begin to steward leaders. Guys, steward leadership is key to growing a church. It's great to have converts, but God's got to, you know, he's got to raise up a Lisa that has the ability to go into a community and pull somebody from a gas station to church. There's anointings in the house. Guys, That's the whole thing about the kingdom of God. That the very power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. You guys can go back to your seat, but I wanted to give you you have something?
I do about this.
Okay. I guess don't go anywhere.
Why are they all over in the corner?
I don't know. Brother Dom's sitting there, so I just...
It's like you stuck them all in the corner. Because even just looking at this and just understanding a little bit of the history here, you know, you had Minister Marr that you know, poured into lots of time and questions and energy and the why behind the what and training and all of that, and then transformation. But then after a while, she began to have this desire birthing in her for women's ministry. And it's like God ordained, and it's like, okay, well, it's going to be difficult for you to have a vision for multiple things. You've got, you know, you're helping with admin, you're helping with this, you know, transformation, women's ministry, all of these things. So I said, I believe that it's time for Stephen to begin to sow the word regularly. And so I said, begin to, he's going to be under Minister Marr and Minister Lehow and through transformation, but I want him to begin to prepare the word, to sow the word, to be in training for this, because ultimately we know what his desire is because he shared it with us to do full-time ministry. And so I'm saying, you know, there's, you know, a leadership thing here. So she's there, they're overseeing that. But then I've noticed too, and kudos to you, because I've seen in Justin, as you've discipled him, he's starting to look a lot like who? Like Stephen, right? That's not a bad thing. And it's so awesome because the things that have been poured into you are you're now pouring into someone else. And so, you know, I've noticed before Justin brings his notebook. Justin didn't just bring his notebook tonight because Pastor Brad asked him to. Justin brings his notebook all the time. And he's always writing things down. Where do you think, I can guarantee, did you tell him to bring a notebook at one point? Did you tell him to write stuff down in service? Did Stephen ever do that, tell you that? Okay, because it was taught to Stephen. And so the things that you learn as a leader and what's poured into you from your leaders, it's so important what you pass on. You may not think it's important, but be intentional about what you're training, what you're teaching. And of course, it's not your agenda, it's the agenda of kings and of God. You know, the vision of God and of kings, what God has given to Dr. Morocco. And in that, yes, there are times that there's correction and there's confrontation. But there are things that also have, through that, has made us better, you know? And it's like, okay, I get why that had to happen. Maybe I didn't understand it at the time. But I can guarantee that because Stephen went through those moments, and was okay with learning through them, that he's going to duplicate the same thing. And if he has to confront and teach someone else, he's going to do it because it was done to him. But if I never confront, if Pastor Brad never confronts and never deals with issues, then it'll create a culture where we just nobody ever deals with anything. Like nobody confronts anything, nobody teaches, nobody trains. It's just all about relationship, but not leadership.
You know, just as I want you to, you guys can go back to your seats. Praise God. Share with them what happened Thursday night transformation. Because when you called me, I knew that was a point. I mean, that's a hard point. But what a lesson that God gives us. But share with them what happened Thursday night. I think because those are moments that you're like, that will forever be engraved in your mind. Those moments when somebody does something under the unction of the Holy Spirit that will cause a shift. And I believe that's what we're upon, are those kinds of shifts here at King's. And I mean, and I'm very serious. These kinds of shifts where there have been things that have happened where that seed caused an avalanche, you know, in those things. Share with them.
Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. So transformation on Thursday night, we came in and we had messaged Joshua to come. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he came on Sunday. And, you know, he's what a great testimony and how he came through multiple people seeing him in the week. And so briefly, but I had saw him and prayed for him and put him in my contacts as Joshua and Heather. And I got to pray and help him out a little bit. And a few days later, Ryan calls me and says, I've met some guy. And it was, you know, completely just ordained by the Lord how it happened. I'm going to be brief with it. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to give you his number. He's going to come to church. I was like, praise God. And I went to call him, and I already had his number. I had his number saved. I was like, wait a second. What? And I called him. I was like, Josh. He's like, yeah, yes, sir, you know, because I'm the bus guy. He doesn't know. I was like, do you remember at the Chinese restaurant outside I prayed for you? He's like, yeah, I remember, you know. And I said, I'm the guy who runs the bus, you know. He's like, what? He said, two people from the same church, that must be a sign, you know. I'm like, yes, sir. So hallelujah. But so he comes to Transformation, and we pick him up, and, you know, he's homeless right now. And, you know, when he came out of church on Sunday, he got off the bus. It's hard, and it's hard. And you want to be able to help these people in every way, you know, spiritually, financially. You want to help them because, you know, you're picking someone up on the bus, and you got to go take them and drop them off without a home. You know, you bring them into church and you bring them here to help them, and they get touched and they get sewed into. And I got to go take them and drop them off at the bridge. It's hard. You know, it's a hard thing. And so he comes to Transformation, but when he got off the bus, he said, I don't care if I'm homeless or not. I'm coming to church. Oh, you know what that does to you? Like, that's it. Yes. So he comes to Transformation, and we're worshiping. And as we're worshiping, he comes up, and he has a $10 bill in his hand. And I said, what's this? He said, it's my only $10. I want to bless you. And, you know, initially you would say, well, I want to take this guy. He doesn't have a home. It's his last $10. I'm not taking it. But the Lord told me to take it. He said, take it, because I'm going to sow it back into him, and I'm going to. It's going to be a great harvest, you know, that he'll reap for this. So take it. So I took it. And, you know, that's a powerful thing. So I'm, like, over in the corner. Of course, Minister Lee, I was anointed. You know, he's worshiping the house down. And this boy just came and gave me his only $10. He says, I don't need anything. He said, I want to give this to you. I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And so I'm, you know, I'm weeping back there because it's just this powerful moment. And the Lord told me what to do with it, what to sow it into in the ministry here, to sow it into the building, that he could be a part of that, to sow it into Project Freedom. And so I felt to do that. And when I came up here, I wanted to share it, but I asked him if it was okay to share first, you know. And I asked him, I said, can I share this with the people, what just happened? And he said, yeah. And so I shared it to the people, and I did. It wasn't just him coming in and giving $10. It was bigger than that. You could feel, like, as Pastor Brad, there was a shift. There was a switch. There was just a breaking. Something had happened in that moment, too, that he gave that $10. And we hadn't really had an offering or anything. We've talked about it, but that's never really happened. But it kind of just manifested there. But there was a shifting there. That was like, this something. Things happening here, you know. And I just let it be known, and multiple other people came up and started giving. We had four or five other people that put in with his money and had an offering, you know. And hallelujah. So I believe that's the beginning of something great, you know. That's not just a one-time thing that he came in not knowing, but that he is did what God did told him to do, and that obedience is really broken some things open. So
amen. Praise God. And that won't be something that you won't forget that. Because the hardest thing is, you're talking about precious seed. When you don't have anything left to give and you give the one thing away, and, you know, and you reach out to him this week. We need to know what the need is, okay? There's a people here that are going to help. He needs food. We'll fill his fridge. That's not a problem. He needs work. You know, we'll work whatever direction we need to work. Amen. So find out what the need is. You guys that have met him, check in with him. I know there's some. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. So, but we steward leaders, and guys, without a savior, I'm nobody. I would have burnt in hell with the best of them. Without a savior, I'm nobody. We all need a savior, okay? You can look like you got it all together and not have it together. And that's the, and you know, and I believe it's I believe that as we cross over, you know, in into these next 3 or 4 months, we're gonna see this. We're gonna steward leaders, you know, in our life groups, in our ministries, in our preaching, teaching, in our growing. It's you know, I believe there's a call for us here in West Virginia to come up higher, and I've been sensing it for some time. So as I say that, I mean there's the things that require us to come up higher, and we have to steward these things. These six things that I went over tonight. There's so many other things we have to steward, but you know, listen, if we're not healthy, you don't feel like being here if you're not healthy, right? Who wants to go to church? I'm not healthy. I don't feel like going. I'm sick or what? You don't feel like going if you're not healthy. So these are things that we're going to come up higher in. Amen. So it's a challenge before your pastors. And this was and there were other things said in the staff meeting, but this was the gist of what we went through in our meeting this past week. And I felt it important to bring it to the church. Is this okay tonight? You know, just some good information, some nuggets that we can carry, we can walk away with.